you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. We are thankful to be here. I know we've got, being Easter, we had a good crowd this morning. Then we have some maybe going to spend time with family. I'm thankful that my family got to come and spend time with me. It's good to have them here. It's been a while since they've been able to come, and Lord's blessed they were able to come, so we're glad of that. As well as each and every one that we could be here together. You pray for me because God knows what we need, and it'll take Him to get across the message tonight. Genesis chapter 8. Before we begin, let's bow. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the honor and privilege to be in Your house and how good it is to be able to come into this place and think about You and how that because You live, we can face tomorrow. Because You live, that we know that we're going to be able to stand with You in paradise. And I pray that everyone here can say the same thing, that they know that they're saved and they know where they're going. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us as Your people to encourage them and be a light for them, that they would see what we have, those that are lost, and see what we have and have a desire to have it. Lord, I thank You already for the service we've had thus far. It's already been a blessing to my heart. Help us to honor You in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 9, I'm sorry, chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading with verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wives, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for their imagination of their heart. A man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. You know, boy, that's encouraging, especially for all these scientists tell you it's going to all fall apart. And we're going to all, maybe, you know, global warming's going to get us. And, you know, every year we make statements, we just don't have those winters we used to have and things like that. But God made us a promise. As long as the earth's here, we're not going to have to worry too much about all that. And yet, you know, we think about Noah and how that we would all know the story because we were raised up to, you know, even in Bible school and Sunday school, you know, from children. Noah was that man in an evil day that found favor with the Lord. As God looked down upon the world, the whole world was evil from one end to the other, and he was, you know, ready to just do away with all of it. And he looks down at Noah, and Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And so, we would understand maybe that Noah being a righteous man. So, Noah, let's just kind of break his life into segments tonight, if we can do that. Noah was a man that, up until the point of the flood, up to the point of the ark building, he's a man that just was an obedient man. In spite of the filthy world that he lived in, the perverted wickedness that was going on all around him, he still was able to live righteously before the Lord. And so that was his life, and he did that day after day after day with all the temptation around him and with all the naysayers and with all the discouragement around him. He lived his life to please the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with him. He found favor. And then you have the next chapter of his life. God said, Noah, you're going to build an ark. And you're going to preach according to the New Testament, if we go look there. And you're going to preach to those that would come by. You're going to be a preacher of righteousness. So the next chapter of his life was he spent nailing nails or pitching with pitch, building an ark, and maybe the construction sat in the background. Maybe he steps down to a podium, and when people pass by, he preaches to them that God is going to send a flood, and you need to be ready. And maybe as they would pass by, maybe some of them stopped up their ears. We're not going to listen to you. Or maybe they wagged their head, or maybe they laughed and joked for a little while and carried on. But when they went out at seeing distance, he turned around and he went and built on the ark. And that was his life quite some time. Then there comes the next chapter, and it didn't last very long, but it's an amazing thought. When you stop and consider, as Noah would begin to see those animals come out of the woods, two by two, some by sevens, but two by two they come. And can you imagine to be there and witness that? To see that God has put you in a place where you will forever be known as Noah and the Ark. And you see these animals, and here comes giraffes, and here comes kangaroos, and here comes elephants. And if it's Mississippi animals, you've got some armadillos and some possums and all these things coming. And you witnessing that. What an amazing sight that would be. To witness what God is doing. And he takes his family and he gets on the ark with all these animals. And however God did that to keep those animals content. And you know, the lion was not eating the lamb and all that. You know, God, maybe he sedated them, whatever the case may be. They go onto that ark and God shut the only door on the ark. And then starts the next chapter of his life, and it begins to rain. I don't know what that must have been like, and the Bible don't give us a picture of what it was like inside the ark. But if you could imagine spending the next upwards of 365 days on that ark, by the time the water comes down and they get out on dry ground, anywhere from 220 to about 365 days they spent on that ark. If you could imagine being surrounded by animals, and there's the door that God has shut, and they can't open that door, and there's one little window, little sunlight coming in. Other than that, they're on that ark, tossed to and fro. Listen, Noah was human, his family was human. Can you imagine what that would be like? Just say 300 days to spend on that ark, tossed back and forth. Animals occasionally making some noise. Boy, that would get claustrophobic. it would certainly close in on you after a while. And not only that, perhaps when it started raining, that there were people that come and begin to beat on the side of that ark, screaming, "Let me in." Maybe they're crying. And Noah has to say, "I didn't close the door. God did. I can't open the door." I believe, you know, when God closes a door, nobody can open it. I believe if Noah could open the door, he would have opened the door. But God closed. And so maybe those screams are in his ears. That's on his mind while he's being tossed on the ocean. Then he has the occasional send out a bird, and they come back, and send out a bird and come back. And finally, the one, it don't come back anymore. So, okay, now we're getting close. Maybe we'll get out of this thing before long. And then a few months pass by seemingly. And they open the door. And they look out at dry land. Now, I know I went a long way bringing you through that story because I want you to almost feel this. What do you think that feels like whenever he stepped off on dry ground for the first time? You think that air smelled sweet? Take a deep breath. Boy, that's good. God put him a beautiful rainbow in the cloud, made a promise. This will never happen again, Noah. Never again. Not like this. And to know that, and you step off with your family and you look around and everything you see is new. The green grass is new. The trees, new. Everything's new. First sky you've seen fully since you've been on that thing. What I'm trying to get at with all that is, God saved Noah on the ark. God's salvation. I know it's physical salvation, but God saved him on the ark. And then whenever he opens up and he's able to go out, he goes out into a brand new life. And everything's new. The slate of all humanity has been wiped clean. There's nothing that like it used to be. Everything is brand new. And Noah, you go forth from this and you prosper and you multiply. But it seemingly everything is wide open. You can go out of here and if you want to be a doctor, you can be a doctor. There's no doctor, so there's need for them. If you want to be a construction worker, you've already got your hand in that. You built an ark. You can read blueprints. You can do that. It's something about new beginnings. I want you to think about that with me tonight. It's something about new beginnings. Oh, what's your favorite time of year? Ain't this about the best time of the year? Oh, I love springtime. It is so good to see everything blooming out and it's all new and new buds. And Brother Jake, I got new little plants popping up out of the ground. I like seeing all that. It's all new and it's fresh and it's exciting. New life. It's something about new beginnings. You remember the first day you went to school? Don't really matter how old you are. You remember that? I do. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was 6 years old. There's not a lot of things you remember when you're 6 years old. I remember first day of school. I remember walking into the first grade because that was the first time I had to let go of Mama's hand. I was always with her or with family, but I was released into a world and some woman I had never met before, she now has total, complete authority over my life for 8 hours a day. I was scared to death. But it was fresh and it was new and it was an experience. And all these other little kids, they were the same boat. They were looking around and nobody knew what to do. They were just scared to death. Oh. We learned the letter M. Mr. M with the munchy mouth had a record and they played that. Yeah, it was old school. But that was the first letter we learned. I don't know why M. That's just the letter we learned. I remember it like it was yesterday. And a little boy walks up. He said, "You see my Mickey Mouse watch?" And we become best friends that day. Day one. It was a good day. And I remember that. And there's just something about it sticks with you, don't it? Those first. You remember the first time you drove off without your parents? You got in the car and you took the wheel and you drove off. There's Mom and Daddy in the rearview mirror and they're gone. That opened up a whole new world. Things changed. And it was exciting and it was new and it was fresh. And I could go on with first dates. I remember marriage. That chapter opened up. You remember the first time you held that baby in your arms? We'll never forget that, will we? You hold that baby. That changes everything. The whole world changes at that point. And it's good, and it's fresh, and it's new. And, there's just something about new, and there's something about first, and there's something about beginnings. And what I'm trying to get at here tonight is kind of like the day you got saved. You remember that? Remember the day you got saved? You was lost, but now you're found. You were blind, but now you see. Everything changed. The world, to me, it seemed new and it seemed fresh and it seemed alive. And I had a zeal about me that I had never had before. I'm saved. I want everybody in the world to experience what I've experienced, to no longer have to worry about being lost, not have to worry about going to hell, to experience life as a child of God. And no matter how bad I mess it up, I will always be saved. I'm kept by the power of God in His hand, sealed to the day of redemption. Well, that's a good feeling. All of the things that Noah could have done with his new life, he decided to plant a vineyard. And I can see the appeal. I like grapes. I don't think that was his mindset. For whatever reason, he decided to plant a vineyard and he gets drunk. And we're just going to leave the story pretty much there. Things went downhill in a hurry from that point. Of all the things he could have done, that's the direction he went. Rather than embrace the new and cling to his God, he went away from the Lord. At least at that point, he did for some time. And he ends up cursing one of his grandkids. You know the story from there. You see, when God saved you, old things were wiped away. Clean slate. Everything in front of you is new. You are born again. You have a new life. Can I ask you this question tonight? What have you done with it? Since salvation, what have you done with this new life God gave you? Does life look brighter? Does it smell sweeter? I think about Moses, and I can't help but he puts a sacrifice. He builds an altar and he offers up a sacrifice. The Bible said it smelled good to God. Daddy, I bet it smelled good to him too. That's brand new, and he hadn't done that in a while. And I bet you the first time he smelled it on the other side of that flood, I bet it smelled good. You know, we get saved. And life is supposed to be different. And it's supposed to be better. And it's supposed to be new and abundant. But I ask you again, is it brighter? Or does it resemble the old? Do you find yourself wrapped back up in the yoke of bondage, giving in to the old man more than you do looking forward to being the new man? The classic tale, some of you probably read the book in first grade. Charlotte's Web. Don't have to read it anymore. Miss Penny, we can watch the cartoon. They may have made a movie by now. I don't know, but y'all remember that, though. Charlotte's Web. Everybody knows Charlotte's Web. And you got the old hog, Wilbur. I can't remember the lady's name, but the farmer lady. You remember, she's going to take him to the fair. And before she took him to the fair, she had to give him a buttermilk bath. So she took that hog and she washed him in buttermilk and he was glistening white. Uncle Dale, the old rat, come along. Old Templeton comes along and he says, if you just get on that truck like that, they're going to think something wrong with you. You need to show them you're a hog. You need to go back and you need to resist and you need to fight and you need to go roll around in the mud. And that's what he done. That's what hogs do. You know, God equated our Christian life many times. That's what we do. We get saved and we have that little bit of zeal about us for a little time. But the world and the prince and the power of the air has done a good job convincing Christians that we are supposed to look like everybody else and life is supposed to be just like it is for everybody else. And really, there's not an awful lot to being saved other than you get to go to heaven. But I tell you what, God wants us to be different. And He wants us to cling to Him more and more every day. We sing a song, sweeter each day, sweeter each day. How many of us sing that and we believe it from our heart? The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. How many of us can sing that from the bottom of our heart and know that it's true? Things are supposed to get better. All right, look at 2 Corinthians, if you will, chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, can I ask you tonight, does that include you? Are you in Christ? Have you been saved? Are you a child of God? Have you been accepted into the beloved? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things, A-L-L, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are not saved to return to the mire. God didn't save us so that we could blend in with the world. He didn't save us so we could go back to fretting and worrying and, you know, live without faith. But there's many people, that's what they do. They get saved. I mentioned the world and the prince, the power of the air. They've done a real good job of convincing us that once we're saved, what we're supposed to do is backslide a little bit so we'll fit in. We're not saved and the best is behind us. I want to ask you something about your life right now. Can you say that right now you're closer to God than you've ever been? Or would you say, I remember a time when I used to be close to God. I remember a time whenever I enjoyed being a Christian more than I do today. I said this morning, I believe, let me repeat it tonight. Who moved? Whose fault is it? We can be as close to God as we want to be. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh unto you. We're not supposed to be saved. So, well, I remember the good old days. I remember when I got saved, how good that was. It's supposed to be good now. When we were saved, all things became new. A better day, a better life, life more abundantly, sweeter each day. And what are we talking about, preacher? Well, all things, the way we look at everything should be better and different. I looked at life, but now I look at life as a saved man. What's tomorrow? Monday? How many of us like Mondays? Why not? You look at somebody who absolutely loves Monday. I love Monday. Monday is one of the best days for me because I kind of can live off what I had for Sunday. I get the leftovers, so I can take it with me into Monday. And now Wednesday or Thursday, I start going downhill a little bit, but I love Mondays. Where would you be if God didn't give you another one? You know what? If God allows us tomorrow, we get another Monday, and it's fresh and it's new. And it's the day we get to live a brand new, fresh Monday to live a saved life for the honor and glory of God. That ought to excite everybody here. I didn't just come to church this evening as usual. Well, I need to rephrase that because I guess I did, but that's not my motivation for coming. Just, well, that's what we always do, so I'll go back to church. Some people, that's what they do. Well, it's another Sunday already. We got to go back to church. Got to get up early and get everything pressed and ready and look good. We got to go down to church. You know what? I come to church, a new service, to enjoy the presence of God with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is an honor and it's a privilege. and it's wonderful. So, well, Brother Brad, you talking about going to church and all that? Let me put it like this. What if tomorrow our Congress, Senate, and they get it passed through, and the President stamps his approval that it is against the law for us to meet like we're doing right now to worship God? All of a sudden, what we're doing right now would become a lot more precious to us, wouldn't it? If we didn't have the opportunity to freely come, I'm not saying we wouldn't still meet, but I'm saying to have the opportunity to freely come, all of a sudden this would become a lot more precious to us. And I'm going to tell you, they're already outlawed it in some countries, and we don't live in the same America we did a few years ago. So we better appreciate what we have and be thankful for it. I come to church tonight. It's a brand new service. And we serve a God who is able to do great things that can still wow us today. You look at all the misery of Job, everything he went through, and God opened a brand new chapter to him. A chapter of joy. Where he had not only heard of the Lord, but now his eyes see him, and God blessed him with everything he had, plus some more. God opened a brand new chapter to him. You know, the Bible says this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That's the Word of God. You can say, well, Brother Brad, in the real world, now that's just don't quite work the way you're saying. Yeah, it does too. That's just the Word of God. You know why we believe that? Well, it don't work quite like you're saying. We've allowed the world and the prince and the power of the air to manipulate us into how a child of God should live in this present world. Does that make sense? Because of what the world is telling us, we almost feel like we can't be happy and joyful. And look at this world with a smile on our face. But we can. All things are new. And all things are of God. And God wants us to have life. And life more abundantly. Not just making do and let's try to hold down the fort till the Lord comes back. We can be more than conquerors. More. Tonight, let me ask you this, and I'm going to close. Will you choose to return to the mire? Or maybe you have. That's where you find yourself now. Brother Brad, if I was honest, I'm pretty much at the bottom of the barrel. I'm as far away from God as I've ever been. Can I encourage you with this? To repent. David did. David was a man after God's own heart. And David found himself in such shape that he had to repent before God. He said, God, purge me with hyssop so I can be clean. And one of his requests in that repented prayer, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He didn't have it like he used to. But he was begging God, God, give me back the joy I used to have. That may be where you are here tonight. You need God to do that. Maybe that's the turn you took. You went and wallowed back in the mire. Well, God, a broken and a contrite heart, He will not turn away. That's our God. Open arms. But maybe you say, well, I tell you what, Brother Brad, I have followed after the Lord and I'm as close as I've ever been. Thank the Lord for that. There's some people, Brother Jake, they're where they need to be. And that's where we all should be. Right where God wants us. Looking to Him. Waiting for that daily bread. Just hand it here. I'm ready for my daily bread every day. I'm ready for some more. I'm ready for some more. But tonight, if you kind of looking at the world, say, I tell you, I'd just be glad when this thing's all over with. That's where some people are. You're a child of God. You can live life and live life more abundantly. But we have to be willing to look to the Lord. Let's not look to our own devices, our own ideas. Let God guide us and lead us. And He will bless. We'll ask for a song.